title of my message today is Politics and Religion. Oh, boy. Some of y'all are thinking, I knew I should have gone to the Methodist church this morning. Today I'm going to talk about the two things that you're not supposed to ever talk about. Politics and religion. Come on, that's just a rule. You just don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. When I went through HR training at the bank fresh out of school, they hammered that into us. It is inappropriate in the business environment to talk about politics and talk about religion. That's a no-no. You just don't talk about those two things. Well, guess what? We're going to talk about them today. just show of hands this morning. How many of you guys just hate it when people bring up politics? You say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the ads. I'm just ready for it to be over. Okay, thank you. All right, now show of hands. How many of you would say, well, I'm the one who brings up politics. I'm the one who makes everybody uncomfortable at the dinner table. All right, thank you for your honesty this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I do enjoy politics. I find them fascinating and entertaining. I have a degree from Carolina in political science, so I studied politics in depth. We looked at political systems in the U.S., in Africa, in the U.K., in the European Union, and I do personally enjoy politics, but as a pastor, I hate politics. Because I understand how dangerous politics can be to the church. Politics can destroy a church. And just so you all know, as a minister of the gospel, I am called to recruit people for Jesus, period. Okay? I am not called to recruit people for the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarian or the Green Party or anybody else, okay? Because there are too many political pimps in the pulpit, and that is not who I am, and that's not who I'm called to be. So I make you the promise, I'll never stand in the house of God and endorse a politician. Just in case y'all are getting nervous in the service, I saw some of y'all squirming in the seats, looking for the exit rows. It's all right, we're not going to get into that today. There's only one person that I will ever endorse in this pulpit, and he's the one with nail scars in his hands and his feet. And you won't find him on the campaign trail. You'll find him seated at the right hand of God. He didn't lower my taxes. He took my sins away. And I love his health care plan because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That's my health care plan. I love his economic policy because my God shall supply all my need according, not to the economy, not to the federal rate, but according to his riches and glory. I love his national defense plan because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I even love his stance on women's rights because in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female, but we're all one in the kingdom of God. I love his immigration policy because he accepts people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. In case you're wondering, I'm talking about Jesus this morning. That's why when you come to church, you need to keep politics out of this place. Amen. Leave them in the car or leave them at the door, flush them down the toilet, but don't bring them into this place because this is a holy place. This is a place where we promote Jesus. Amen. And one of the things that I love about Generation Church is our diversity. Have anybody noticed we've got some diversity in the room? Come on, just look around and smile at somebody. You see, we're all kinds of different people in here this morning. And I love that. That's a good thing. Come on, tell your neighbor, you look good. Not as good as me, but you're trying. Doing the best you can. Not only is Generation Church made up of people from many different generations, our church is a family of people that come from different cultures, different backgrounds, even different political parties. And I'm sorry if this makes you uncomfortable, but at this church, we don't all vote alike. This is a place where every Sunday, Democrats and Republicans, Libertarians and Independents all come together and worship Jesus. And I love that. Can we just make the devil mad? Can we just praise God for a moment right now together? Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus in this place. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. How good and pleasant it is when God's people dwell together in unity. We might not be the same, but we worship the same God. We've been washed in the same blood of Jesus. We've got the same Holy Spirit, and we're all going to the same place. When we worship God together, we're declaring that the kingdom of God is greater and stronger than any government and any political party on this earth. Isaiah said that the government shall be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Church, one day very soon, the host of heaven will declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God, and he shall reign forever. That's the kingdom we belong to, citizens from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And I love our diversity as a church because this is a place where people who are different come together to worship Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, I won't go to a church where that doesn't happen. I won't go to a church where everybody looks the same and acts the same and votes the same. Number one, because it's boring. Number two, because you can't have very much biblical unity in a place like that. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Isn't that what unity means and everybody's the same? No. Unity is not when everybody's the same. That's called symmetry. Unity is when people who are different unite together. Because it's just like Jesus to call people who are so different to play on the same team. Because Jesus called Matthew a publican, a tax collector, and he also called Peter a zealot. They were from opposite ends of the political spectrum, and Jesus called them together to follow him as their disciples. I love how God works. But politics will destroy a church if you let it. If you don't believe me, just read the history of Western civilization, okay? After the resurrection of Jesus, the church was booming. Even in the face of persecution, they were spreading the gospel all over the place. And people were coming to Christ by the thousands. In fact, the Thessalonian Jews called the apostles the men who turned the world upside down. What started with 120 people on the day of Pentecost quickly spread to the far reaches of the Roman Empire and beyond. And Christianity continued to explode and expand for 300 years. But then something happened. Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. And you would think that that was a good thing, but in reality, it ended up being a very bad thing. And let me explain why. When Constantine made Christianity the state religion of the Roman Empire, you had thousands of pagan governors and rulers who became Christians to maintain their political position. You see, politics and the church merged together. In the year 313, when Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, officially recognizing Christianity, the emperor essentially said, the Roman Empire is now a Christian empire. And many godless and pagan men went along with his decree and began and continued to practice their pagan religions under the banner of Christ. They were not believers in Jesus. They merely accepted the title of Christian to protect their own position. You see, they got it backwards. You see, government cannot and must not influence the church. The church must influence the government. It's got to go the other direction. The Roman Empire became a Christian empire, and the church became the seat of political power, and it nearly destroyed Christianity. We as believers must influence politics, but we cannot let politics influence the church. We can't allow politics in the door. Amen? Amen. And if you look back over history and read, see what happened in the Roman Empire is that politics wreaked havoc. You had all these pagan rulers who, instead of putting their faith in Jesus, brought their paganism into Christianity. And every one of the major heresies of the Catholic Church can be traced back to this period of time. Because nobody in the early church prayed to Mary. Nobody. How many Christians prayed to Mary in the early days? None of them. Okay? And I don't have a problem with Mary. Let it go on the record. I like Mary. Mary was a Pentecostal. Mary was at the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and she spoke in tongues like if she was a tongue-talking Christian. That's my kind of Mary. I like Mary. Mary has a position of high honor, but she does not intercede for us in heaven. The Bible says that that position belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone. Amen. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through his mama. We can go right to Jesus ourselves because he is our great high priest interceding for you and me. And it was around the year 300, you see, about that time when Christianity became official, that the first hymn was written to Mary. When before that time, all previous hymns were written to God. It's a song called Sub Tuum Presidium, which means beneath thy protection. And the veneration of Mary came out of this time of pagan influence in the church, and it all started with politics. I don't blame the Catholic Church. I blame politics. It all started with politics, and that's why we keep politics out of this place, because politics will mess us up. So to help you prepare for this presidential election that's coming up in a few days, I want to give you 5 points about politics that will help you as a Christian, okay? I'm going to help you this morning. And if I offend anybody today, let me just say, you're welcome. All right. Five things you need to know about politics. Number one, politics are important. Y'all didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Politics are important. They're important to me as a citizen of this great United States, and they should be important to you too. Remember, politics should never influence the church, but we as Christians have a responsibility to influence politics. Regardless of what party you belong to, you should always seek to promote Christian values in politics. And I hear people argue over whether Jesus would be a Republican or a Democrat. And people go back and forth and back and forth. And Republicans like to quote Matthew 11:19 that says, Jesus was a friend of publicans. He was a friend of publicans, so he must have been a Republican. And the Democrats are over there saying, no, 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 no way. Jesus was a Democrat because Jesus was a healthcare dispensing machine. Everywhere Jesus went, he gave people free health care, and he never turned anybody away. And the libertarians just say, are you kidding me? Jesus wasn't a Republican. He wasn't a Democrat. He was a libertarian, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, everybody wants to claim Jesus for their political party. And chances are the reason some of you belong to a certain political party is because of your Christian faith. Some of you, you're a Republican because of your Christian faith. Others of you, you're a Democrat because of your Christian faith. Or you're a Libertarian because you don't want to ever win an election, ever. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there. But many of us, we associate with one party or the other because of our Christian values. The reason that you get involved in politics, some of you, is because you're a Christian. Because you understand that politics are important. I'll be honest with you. I know good Christian people who are Republicans, and I know good Christian people who are Democrats. And I'm sure there's a libertarian out there somewhere. And the reason that they affiliate with their party is because of their values. Okay, now, if you will allow me, I want to really offend you for just a moment, okay? This is going to hurt, but the truth is, it's my job to teach you the truth. So I'm going to rip off the band-aid. If you're taking notes, write this down. No political party lines up with the Bible. No political party lines up with the Bible. Nobody gets it right all the time. And that's the challenge for us as Christians, because both parties have some Christian values and both parties have values that directly go against Christian values. Neither party gets it right. And I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of that this morning so I could move on to point number two. Point number two, some things are more important than politics. Politics are important, but some things in life are more important. There will come a point in your life where politics no longer matter to you at all. One of my privileges as a pastor is that I've been able to sit with people in their final moments of life. And in 12 years of ministry, nobody has ever said to me on their deathbed, "Pastor Clark, will you please read to me portions of the Constitution? I know my life is almost over. Would you please read to me from the memoirs of Barack Obama? Pastor Josh, would you sing me a song about Ronald Reagan?" No, no, no. Nobody's ever said that to me on their deathbed. Why? Because there are times when politics don't matter at all. Yes, politics are important, but there are things that are much, much more important than politics. And this is my challenge to you this morning. I challenge you in this election season to put your faith above your politics. That's my challenge to you in this election year. I challenge you, put your faith first and your politics second. I challenge you to be a Christian first and a Democrat second. I challenge you to be a Christian first and a Republican second. I challenge you to be a Christian first and a Libertarian second. Because this is the problem I've noticed. Unfortunately, I've seen some people who were supposed to be Christians doing some very unchristian-like things in the name of politics. And even in an election year, you don't get a free pass from God to act like a fool. Put your faith above your politics and don't ever stop acting like a Christian. Now, not very many Christians would be willing to make that commitment, but I know that you guys are different. I know you guys are up to the challenge there. There's some other people who wouldn't be up to the challenge. They said, "I just can't do it," but I know that you guys could do it. How many of you would be willing to make that commitment and say, "I'm going to put my faith above my politics"? All right, I'm proud of you. If you really mean it, come on, stand up for just a second. Stand up, y'all. Stand up to your feet. Wake up this morning. Stand up. Okay. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name. I knew some of y'all were going to say that. I just knew it. I knew it. Okay. We'll start over. I pledge to put my faith above my politics. All right. Give yourselves a hand this morning. You can be seated. All right, now that you guys have publicly made that pledge, and this service is being videotaped, so I've got it on record. Now that you've made that pledge, my last 3 points are really going to help you keep that pledge. So let's go. You remember point number one, politics are important. Number two, some things are more important than politics. Number three, this is really going to help you this morning. Number three, your candidate is not Jesus. Oh, boy. Your candidate is not Jesus. Some of y'all walking around talking about your presidential candidate like they walked out of the empty tomb on Resurrection Sunday. Talking about them like they are the savior of the world. Well, they are not. They are not. They are not. Usually when it comes to politics, Christians go to one extreme or the other. They either bury their head in the sand and avoid politics completely, or they get way, 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 way too caught up in politics. And that's the group that I'm talking to right now. Listen, stop becoming so obsessed with your presidential candidate. Listen, I guarantee you none of you are BFF with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. None of y'all know them on a personal level. So don't make a politician you don't know more important than the Jesus you do know. I want you to listen to something that C.S. Lewis said about politics, and this is a very convicting statement. He said, "To devote yourself wholeheartedly to a politician or a political party is to render unto Caesar that which emphatically belongs to God." Mm-hmm. Some of you are out there praising and worshiping a politician when that praise and glory really belongs to Jesus. I want you to think about this. Don't raise your hand. Don't say, oh me, oh my. Listen, I want you to think about it, though. How many times have you talked to somebody about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? And how many times have you talked to that same person about Jesus? Maybe it's time that we ought to put our priorities where they belong. Because ultimately, if you put your hope in any politician of any party, you're going to be disappointed. Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Politicians make promises and politicians lie, but those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. That's from the CIV, the Clark International Version. Listen, it's okay to vote. It's good to vote. I hope you vote, okay? Your opinion doesn't matter, but your vote does. It's okay to vote, and it's good to vote. It's okay to favor one candidate over the other, but put your faith first and your politics second, and make sure that Jesus is still number one, all right? Five things you need to know about politics. Number one, they're important. Number two, some things are more important. Number three, your candidate is not Jesus. Number four, the other candidate is not the devil. Uh-oh, I was doing good till I said that one. Listen to me, the other candidate is not the devil. Donald Trump is not the devil, and Hillary Clinton is not the devil. I'm going to remind you of Ephesians. Man, it's tough in here this morning. I'm going to have to go to Bojangles when I get out of here today. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. People are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. And I'm telling you, if some of you would get half as mad at the devil as you get about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, listen, this whole city would be turned upside down. If you would get half as passionate about fighting the enemy as you are about fighting a politician, maybe you'd make a difference in your community, in your family, and in your workplace. Stop getting mad about a politician and start getting mad about the devil. Stop complaining about Hillary Clinton and start praying for your children. Stop complaining about Donald Trump and start praying for your coworker to get delivered and saved. It's high time that the body of Christ stop getting mad about people and start getting mad at the real enemy. I've heard you complain about the election, but when's the last time you rebuked the devil in the name of Jesus? It's time to rebuke the spirit of violence off of this city. It's time to fast and pray and break the power of sexual immorality off of this generation. It's time that we start chewing some carpet again and getting on our faces and crying out to God, saying, Lord, revive this city and revive this nation. Because the hope of America is not in one political party or the other. The hope of America is the body of Christ. And if we don't make a difference, nobody in Washington is going to do a thing. Come on, stop getting caught up in the institutions of man and start waging war for the kingdom of God. Donald Trump is not the devil. Hillary Clinton is not the devil. The devil is the devil. He's the enemy, so we need to start acting like it. Some of you are so mad over this election that you hate the other candidate. I hate to be the one to tell you. Actually, I kind of like to be the one to tell you. But you can't do that and go to heaven. You can't hate anybody and be a child of God. You need to understand that, because politics, our country is more polarized than it's been in decades. And there is hate flying both directions. But as children of God, you are not allowed to participate in the hatred. You cannot hate somebody and be a child of God. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And whoever hates his brother is a murderer. My Lord, does the Bible really say that? Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You can't hate anybody and go to heaven. Period. At the end of the day, your candidate is not Jesus and the other candidate is not the devil. They're just people, and both of them need us to pray for them. Don't ever forget that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were people that Jesus died on the cross for. And I'll be honest with you, on a personal level, I'm not really thrilled about either one of them. Neither one of them makes me happy. Neither one of them makes me giggle, okay? But at the end of the day, one of them is going to be our president. And as Christians, we're going to be obligated to pray for them. And it's hard to pray for somebody that you've been slandering and hating and gossiping about. Boy, I knew it was going to be tough. I'm going to go buy Krispy Kreme after I go buy Bojangles and get me a McDonald's coffee on the way. I want to ask the worship team, Phil, come as we get ready to close. Listen, we're going to have to pray for one of them as our president, and we need to pray for both of them. Because when I look at their lives, both of them need Jesus. Both of them need to be washed in the blood of Jesus and washed from political mess. Both of them need the Lord. And by the way, I hope you're praying for President Obama. I'll be honest with you, there have been seasons when I prayed for him and his family faithfully, and there have been seasons when I've got caught up in everything else. And the Holy Spirit convicted me about that. He said, no, you need to pray for your leader. Because he's all of our president. It doesn't matter if you vote for him or not. He is the president of this nation. And we should pray for him. That God would bless him. That he would make the right decisions. And I've been praying lately that his final days in office would be his best days. Five things you need to know about politics. Number one, they're important. Number two, some things are more important. Number three, your candidate's not Jesus. Number four, the other guy's not the devil. Number five, this is the most important point. People matter most. What's more important than politics? People are. All around us, people are bound by the devil and desperately need Jesus. And that's a lot more important than politics. If you're going to put your faith above your politics, you have to always put people first, because that's what Jesus did. You know, we know that we have to love what God loves and hate what God hates. God hates sin, but God loves people. And hating sin is never more important than loving people. And I think a lot of people have been turned off to the body of Christ because we get really passionate about hating sin, but we're not nearly as passionate about loving people. It's time that we get our priorities right and put people first. Because Jesus didn't die on the cross to affect climate change. He didn't die on the cross to save the whales. He didn't die on the cross to lower your taxes. Jesus died on the cross to save people from their sins. And America doesn't need another stinking politician. They need Jesus Christ. With all the hatred in politics, listen, don't get caught up in the hate, because God is not hate. God is love. If you don't love, you don't know God. And we need to prove to the world that we know God, because we need to love everybody. Some people lose their testimony over politics. How do I know? Because my wife's on Facebook. That's how I know. Some Christians lose their testimony over politics. Don't let that be us, Generation Church. Too many Christians will get into an argument with somebody about politics, and they'll yell and they'll scream and they'll rant on Facebook and they'll belittle that person, and all the time they show no concern for their eternal soul. That person you're arguing with, that person you're belittling, is a person that Jesus died to save. Don't forget that. It's okay to have a debate. It's okay to have a discussion. I love to talk politics from time to time when I'm as far away from this building as possible. It's okay to have a discussion. But remember, you're going to put your faith first and politics second, or as I prefer, last. Put people first. Remember that people matter most. Amen. If we're going to put our faith above our politics, then we have to love people the way Jesus did. Because the question is not, who are you voting for? The question is, where will you spend eternity? I know it's been tough, but y'all survived. You did good. You're still here. You're still smiling. Come on, stand to your feet and let's pray this morning.